You all asked for it, and you all got it. We're going to do it today. Happy 412 day. Happy mock draft Friday. It doesn't have the same alliteration, but it still works.
You know, I didn't even put it together. Like, this is episode 150 of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's 412 day. It's like the numbers are just aligning for us to do a mock, like something special, like a mock draft.
Nice, perfect round numbers, even numbers. I'm a big fan of even numbers. On April 12th, 412 day, 2024, he's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Chris. And of course, this is the Southside Beat, as we are every Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coming up in a few minutes, we will be doing a different look to the stream if you're watching live. And we have a kind of a different look on right now in preparation of that. But before we get to that, Chris, some news today. Obviously, the pre-draft visits continue to roll in on the South Side. We expected this one to happen at some point, and sure enough, today was the day for it.
So Zach Frazier, definitely on the list. He's been on our list in the feed just because we knew he was scheduled. It was going to happen. It was a matter of when. So obviously that was today. But then also Cooper DeJean, the cornerback from Iowa, very athletic, very twitchy, big time playmaker, both in on defense and as a returner, really intriguing player. Can't quite put your finger on what he's going to do in the NFL. Obviously he's got the size to play on the outside. 6'1", 207. That's a good size for an outside corner, but some questions about his ability in man coverage. Seems like he's a better fit to maybe play on the inside, maybe safety, maybe do a little bit of everything. Therefore, even though he's probably way more athletic of a player to go higher than he might end up dropping a little bit just because where is he going to play? And when we talked about it, I think earlier this week, when a guy doesn't have a set position, you know, it's like, what do? You invest that like that high of a draft pick on a guy who isn't going to, okay, we got our shutdown corner we got our left tackle or anything like that. You know, you got a guy who might do a little bit of everything, might be a jack of all trades, master none. And that typically doesn't scream top 10 or top 15 pick.
As we know, though, Mike Tomlin likes guys that can play positionless football. I think he's used that phrase many a time, especially last year, too. And Cooper DeJean certainly falls into that category. The 100%. Zach Frazier visit obviously is big. It's anticipated. It was going to happen at some point. And it counts as a local visit, important to note. So it's not towards that 30 allotted. But
I think they have three visits remaining, like toward the 30, I think. I think I counted it this morning in our updated list, which is in the most recent entry we have on the pre-draft visits. And I think I counted 27 of the ones that we have. And that's obviously not counting the local visits, which I have in a separate section so you can see. But I think three West Virginia players, I think, are in the local visits.
That sounds right. Three West Virginia, two Penn State, two Pitt, I believe the count
something
is.
Something like that.
So there's that, and that's going to factor into the draft plans in some way, and certainly it will affect in some way also, as Lyle is a member for 11 months.
Appreciate that, man.
You. It would factor into what we are about to do. Now, as I set this up, I will be running this mechanically. Chris is going to put on his best Omar Khan hat. I will be doing the best Andy Weidel hat, so to speak. And without further ado, let's get this rolling here.
So before he actually hits play on it, I'm gonna kind of lay out what we're doing here. So
there it is.
Yeah, there. So here we go. So you can see what we're setting up. Yes, we're using the PFF mock draft simulator. To me, it's the best one out there. A really important to note here, whenever you look on the right-hand side, first off, we're doing three rounds. So we're not going to do anything. We're not going to do seven rounds. Like, first off, we don't have the time for that. No. But we're doing three rounds. We're going to slow this down because what we want to do is we want to be able to, especially in the first round, we want to be able to see how the board is shaken out, how the top 10 picks go, who might be there, who's not there, who's falling, who's not. Where are there opportunities to trade up? So we want to look at that. So that's why we have it on slow. And then we're leaving the settings how they are the remainder of the way. And the one thing I like here is because, you know, anytime I mention PFF, there's always PFF haters coming into the comments. So if you notice where it says public versus PFF board, it is skewed all the way to public. So this is not based just off of, in terms of how the simulated teams are picking, right. It's not just based off of the big board on PFF. This is across the internet. But these are the default settings for the mock draft simulator. So we're gonna do that. I'm excited, man. And then another thing is whenever we get to a point where we're trying to make decisions, whether it's to trade up, whether it's to trade down, we're going to try to emulate what we think the Steelers might do, not what I, Chris Halleck, want to do or what Corey Crisson wants to do. We're trying to think based off of the intel that we have,
right,
and make decisions off of that. Before we do that, I need to go close my laundry door.
Go for it,
because it's really loud in there.
We'll get started here in a moment once Chris gets back. As Stephen A says, this is kind of our first time playing with this layout too. So we're going to full screen. For those that are listening audio only, we're going to full screen this mock draft simulator. Chris and I, you'll see us on camera on the bottom left of your screen, and we'll run it that way. Obviously, if you're doing audio only, you can't see any of this. Now, we'll do our best to highlight the picks that are made. And obviously, Chris and I ran through a dry run of this probably about an hour ago just to see how it would look and how it would feel. There were some parts where we would literally pause and say, okay, where do we feel we're at? Where do we feel? So obviously Omar Khan and the Steelers front office won't have the ability to do that mid-draft because the draft will be ongoing.
Yeah.
However, as we all know, these first round picks take a long time to come through. So it's almost in that way, you know, and James asked any trade offers for 20. That's not to say we won't accept decline or field offers for 20 or any of the picks in the second or third round.
Every time you come up to pick in this simulator, you can look at where the trade is, and there's a little bubble for how many teams are potentially calling you about making a trade. So we're gonna try to do this the best we can in terms of again, either possibly taking advantage of trading up if there's a guy we really want or we know that the Steelers really want and he's in range, we might try to do a trade up. If there's are no opportunities and things don't work out for us by the time we get to 20, maybe we trade back. You know, we see what our trade offers are and we possibly try to trade back. So we'll try to take advantage of that. Obviously, we're not drafting necessarily for need, but we do have some positions as we sit right now, 13 days from the draft, that we have some holes to fill. So we're again trying to do the best we can, and obviously don't fire us because we're not actually the ones making the decisions here.
Now, as you can see from this as well, the only team we have selected, a couple are hidden in the bottom left, the Falcons and Jaguars are, but the only teams we have selected are the Steelers. So the only team we're going to be drafting these three rounds for are the Steelers. So without further ado, let's enter. Let's get into it. Let's start the draft. First pick, of course, is the Chicago Bears via the Carolina Panthers. So these will run probably a few seconds each.
Yeah.
There's Caleb Williams, number one. There's Jaden Daniels, number two. Let's pause for a second.
Let's definitely go through the top 10 because Steelers most likely are not trading into the top 10.
Right. So let's see how the draft falls throughout the first 10 here. Drake May goes third, quarterback, Carolina. Fourth pick, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. Fifth pick, Roma Dunsey, wide receiver, Washington. Sixth pick, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan. Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame, goes 7 to Tennessee.
Tackle off the board.
Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU, goes 8th to Atlanta. Chicago back on the clock at 9, and they will select Olu Fashanu, tackle out of Penn State. 10th pick, Talis Fuaga, tackle out of Oregon State. So
there goes it's a Steelers target for sure. We could have possibly called the Jets there. But after they got burned last year, I highly doubt that they would have accepted any kind of, especially if they knew we were going to try to actually trade up to get like a Fuaga or anything like that. So That's one tackle specifically off the board. So let's let a couple more picks go and see how this
we goes. Will. It was pretty predictable that the Steelers wouldn't have a chance at either Alt or Fashanu.
No,
just based on their stock. The top 10 goes pretty predictably. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy being off the board to quarterback needy teams. Yeah. Harrison, Adunzi, Neighbors, the top three wide receivers go. So pretty predictable top 10 here. Now, this is where things will get interesting, of course. Going to 11, Steelers are 10 picks out, mm-hmm. and some of these players that are targets are going to start to fall. So 11 is Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. That's a player that the Steelers are pretty high on. Mike Tomlin spent a lot of time targeting and scouting and talking to. 12th pick, Denver. That is Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. That doesn't mm-hmm. really affect Pittsburgh too much.
Oh, there goes Latham.
J.C. Latham goes to the Raiders at 13, the right tackle out of Alabama. So the Steelers are 7 picks away, and a couple options are already gone as far as cornerback and tackle, and wide receiver for that matter too. So pick 14. Let's roll the Saints here. The Saints go Troy Fontenot, the tackle out of Washington. So that's an option as well off the board for the Steelers. This is where things kind of get interesting from the Steelers standpoint. I have it paused right now.
Yeah.
And the Colts are on the clock at 15. Now, this is where I would say the conversation begins about, do the Steelers consider trading up? Are there players on the board that are so coveted, that are so high, that we feel that Omar Khan in the front office would pull a trade for here at this position?
Right. And so I'm already like Stephen A comes in here and says, trade with the Colts. Here's the thing, like what players right now are worth a trade up? And to me, I don't see anybody left on the big. Now, the one thing that I don't like about the PFF mock draft simulator is when you pause here, you can't see the remaining players, but I've got the big board pulled up here.
Yeah.
Right now, the top tackle remaining is Amarius Mims. And in my opinion, not just off of my own, studying on him and everything like that, but I don't see a trade up for Amarius Mims. He's too much of a project. There's not enough experience there. If he had put together a whole season or more than that, if he had even put double the snaps that he had put and with the same type of tape that he put produced at Georgia, then maybe. And Joshua Dobbs does bring up a good point here. Bengals may take Mims, and honestly, I think they do in this situation. I would be shocked if the Bengals passed on him.
All right.
So, let's let the Colts pick and the Seahawks pick.
Okay, the Colts, let's see. We're rolling it now. Colts go for Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama. So a player the Steelers probably weren't targeting anyway. And the Seahawks go with Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama.
Okay.
So 4 more picks until the Steelers.
Three picks ahead, yeah.
I would say Arnold would be an option, obviously a cornerback, a position of need. But let's see what the Jaguars do here. This is where I would think if a trade would happen, somewhere in this 15 to 17 range would be the most likely spot. But again, I still don't think there's anybody worth going up to get.
No.
If like Fuaga or Latham fell or Mitchell fell to this spot,
and that's
why I would be more inclined to.
Jake Taylor Berger here says, Steelers are not going to trade up this year, more than likely trade down. I actually disagree. I think that if there are certain players that fall into this range that we're at right now, in that 15, 16, 17 range, if Fuaga's there, if Latham's there, I think either one of those two guys, I could see a situation in which the Steelers were to trade up and get one of those guys, specifically Fuaga. Fuaga, I think, is the guy who they really, really love. They loved him at his pre-draft visit. So if that situation played out, didn't play out for us here, but if that situation does play out in 13 days, you could see the Steelers possibly trade up and get him.
Yep. All right, let's roll the Jaguars here at 17. And with the 17th pick, Jacksonville selects Graham Barton out of Duke, the very versatile, jack of all trades, master of none offensive lineman. So that's a position
he's gonna play
for Jacksonville.
Center, though. He's going to play center. So to me, that is the first center taken off the board.
Right. All right, Cincinnati at 18. Here we go. Let's roll it. And the Bengals at 18 select Jared Verse, defensive end out of Florida State.
We got Amarius Mims still there.
So two more picks now. I don't believe the Rams, unless they do, I don't believe the Rams are looking at Mims.
No, right but Brian Thomas hasn't been taken yet, has he?
No, he has not, I don't believe. So
yeah, so I think let's see what the Rams pick. Okay. And then let's
and right now nobody's jumped Pittsburgh or tried to offer a trade here. So let's roll 19 and get to the Steelers pick. With the 19th pick, the Rams select Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA. So that leaves, and this is why I think we're saying maybe it's not so worth going back in the draft.
Well, you could if up. Right. Yeah. Because if Mims were in a possible trade down situation, Mims would have to be gone here. I would even say probably Cooper DeJean might have to be gone, and maybe Nate Wiggins. Then I'd say maybe if that situation were to play out, then you take maybe Kool-Aid McKinstry. That could be a guy. But then anybody else, to me, it's worth trading down. I'd trade down to get Jackson Powers Johnson. I would trade down scroll down a little bit.
Yeah.
I would trade down to get Tyler Guyton. I'm really intrigued, even though my pick here right now is Mims. But yeah, let's see who's willing to make trades. So Washington Commanders, they're offering what pick?
Well, this isn't them offering. This is just a team to pick with.
Okay.
Here are the teams interested in pick 20. The Commanders at 36 and the Jets at 72.
No, not trading.
I don't think they're going to go that far back. So
no, we're not trading out of the first round.
So that raises the question here. Miami at 21, obviously not. Philadelphia at 22. Doesn't look like their needs line up with Miami, so Philadelphia probably wouldn't be tempted to move up. I don't think that Minnesota would be tempted to move up, or Dallas. It's kind of hard to move back in this stage, I do believe.
If we would have gotten a call to maybe move back one or two spots, then maybe I'm wanting to trade back. Maybe calling Philly and see if we're willing to trade down a couple of spots, see what we could do. Because I don't want to see, some people are saying like trade down to like 24 to 27. See, here's the thing is that we can take care of tackle right now. And I think 20th overall for Amarius Mims is not a reach.
No.
In my opinion.
No.
I don't think that's a reach. I think Mims is a good pick here. That's my opinion. What's your opinion? And I already saw some people saying just go ahead and take Mims, but yeah, everybody put in what you want us to do. Corey, what are your thoughts?
So here's my thought process too, is I look at Cooper DeJean, Wiggins, Mims, that's three. Powers Johnson's four. Now I know the medicals and everything. Thomas is five, Guyton's six, Mitchell's seven. I see seven players right here at pick 20 that if the Steelers are genuinely interested in, they can move back to one of these spots and still get one of these guys that they're scouting, that they're prioritizing.
Right.
Now, that being said, we know tackle is the biggest need. And Mims is right there. And then the next would be Tyler Guyton. And then based off PFS rankings, the next after that would be Jordan Morgan. I see a huge drop off between Morgan and what Guyton and Mims are. Mm-hmm. And I still see Mims as more of a fit and as more of a, or as less of a project, I would say, than Guyton. Now, the thing that intrigues me about Guyton is he just took his official visit to Pittsburgh, and Isaac Williams coached him up at the Senior Bowl. So they followed him really closely.
Yeah.
And of course, the Big 12 Pro Day. So they followed Tyler Guyton really closely. But that being said, they went to Mims's pro day. Mm-hmm. They pulled off the trifecta with Mims between pro day, top 30, pro day, top 30 and combine official. So it just seems to me like if the Steelers were in this situation, they would just take Mims.
Yeah. Let's go. I'm going to go ahead and take Mims at 20.
With the 20th pick, Chris and Corey, acting as Omar Khan, are taking Amarius Mintz, tackle out of Georgia. So there's the pick at 20. Let's roll the rest and see what happens in the rest of the first round. There's Brian Thomas, LSU wide receiver at 21.
Okay, really quick. We laid this out at the beginning. Mm-hmm. The Brobarian says, PFF ranking, is there any other game in town besides them? The simulation is based off of, it is skewed all the way to the public side, not the PFF big board.
Yep.
So, yes, you see PFF's rankings here, but players are being drafted or team, like the simulation is going through based off more off of overall public big boards, not just PFF. So Correct. We're just using PFF's mock draft simulator.
Yep. All right. Let's continue to roll. Now, you just saw Tyler Guyton go at 22. So imagine if we traded back here to about the 24, 27 range. Mims would likely be gone here to Philadelphia, and then who knows if Guyton or Morgan would be here in this range.
So, Lord, Dolphins took Brian Thomas. Imagine that, Tyreek Hill, Brian Thomas.
That's freaky. All right, Minnesota 23, Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. Okay, that's another Steelers target. There's Jackson Powers-Johnson, 24th
to the Cowboys. Yeah.
25th pick to Green Bay is Byron Murphy, D-lineman out of Texas. Buccaneers take Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. The Cardinals take Cooper DeJean. There he is at 27.
Yeah.
Obviously, the cornerback out of Iowa. I'm going to keep this rolling here. I'm pausing just so I can get my words out.
Right.
Jerjon Newton, D lineman. Well,
once we get to the end of the first round, we're going to have to speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, but we definitely will. All right. So let's continue to roll it here. Lions go with Darius Robinson, edge out of Missouri at 29. Xavier Worthy, receiver out of Texas, goes to the Ravens at 30. TJ Tampa, Iowa State corner at 31 to the 49ers. And then the end of the first round, Xavier Leggett, wide receiver out of South Carolina.
First round.
Goes 32. So there's your first round. Now, again, with this whole concept of if the Steelers were to trade back, okay, let's just review this. And obviously, this isn't one for one what's going to happen in 2 weeks. But there's Amarius Mims at 20, who we decided to take for Pittsburgh. Brian Thomas is certainly a target. So is Guyton. So is Wiggins. So is Powers Johnson. So is Mitchell. So is DeJean. So there you see from 20 to 27, you know, all but one basically Steelers targets were taken. So this is the crucial point right here for Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, we believe. If they were to look back and say, well, we really like Nate Wiggins or we really like Adonai Mitchell, they could just take him at 20 or they can have their cake and eat it too and perhaps move back a couple to get one of those guys.
Yeah. All right. Let's, okay. So when we ran this before, Zach Frazier went like 39th overall.
39 to the Panthers. He went.
But I don't see, I don't. And Chris B71 says, okay, we're drafting need here. Like, listen, need and best player available can go hand in hand. It doesn't have to be best player, like, and completely ignore position. They can go hand in hand. What you don't want to do is handcuff yourself and take a position. Like, we're not going to trade up 15 spots here and give away a lot of draft capital to get Zach Frazier just because we need a center.
Right.
Like, that is whenever you're talking about trading for need. We're not doing that. So let's
the board.
Let's let it go through 40. Let the commanders pick 40th and let's see who all goes.
Okay. 33rd, Ladd McConkey, first pick at day two. Chop Robinson, edge out of Penn State, goes to the Patriots at 34. Khalid McKinstry, cornerback out of Alabama, goes 35 to the Cardinals. 36, Washington takes Max Melton, cornerback, Rutgers. Mm-hmm. 37, the Chargers take Jordan Morgan, tackle out of Arizona. So again, there's that tackle position coming off the board. Which the Steelers are looking at. 38, Titans go Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston. 39, Braden Fisk goes. That's the D lineman out of Florida State, goes to Carolina. And then at 40 to Washington goes Ennis Rakestra, cornerback out of Missouri. So the Steelers pick in, 12 picks here? 11 picks, excuse me. We're at pick 41, Green Bay. There are still several positions of need to address for the Steelers, obviously. And now, let's not forget, there is another third-round pick to play around with.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where we start to consider
I still think for Zach Frazier, I'm that's too high for me.
Okay.
Even though I could see Frazier going anywhere between like 35 and 55, like that range. Let's let it go. Let's let the next four picks go.
Okay. Let's and see what happens. What happens here? Green Bay at 41 takes Kingsley Suamaita, the tackle out of BYU. I'm going to botch that name. 42, Houston takes Peyton Wilson, linebacker of NC State. Good. 43, there goes Zach Frazier.
There goes Zach Frazier.
Center out of West Virginia goes 43 in this mock draft to the Atlanta Falcons. So, looking back, would that have been a beneficial move? Looking at Zach Frazier at about 43 to have to give up capital to get him, is that a worthwhile move?
That far, trading up that far, you might have to give up the 84th pick to go along with it. I highly doubt. I doubt that you would be able to trade away 98 and get that. Maybe if you could get away with that, then maybe I'd think about it. But I don't know if Zach Frazier is necessarily worth that. Even though I do think, or I won't even say think. Even though I do know there are some who are in the Steelers organization that really like Zach Frazier, I think they would love to get him. I don't know if they would love to get him enough to trade up seven spots to get him.
Okay. Let's let this roll again. Pick 44, the Raiders select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington. 45, he goes another quarterback, Bo Nix, out of Oregon to New Orleans. 46, Indianapolis takes Kamari Lassiter, cornerback out of Georgia. Now remember, we picked a tackle in round one. Cornerback is still, of course, a position of need. 47, New York Giants take Roger Rosengarten, tackle out of Washington. 48, the Jaguars take Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota. 49, Cincinnati takes Chris Braswell, edge out of Alabama. And at 50 goes Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. So here's our board.
I know what my pick is.
51. I know what my pick is as well. So here's what we have.
But this is a difficult decision here. Yeah. This might be more difficult than the first round.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going Roman Wilson here.
Mm-hmm.
But Sandra Still is really interesting here. Purcell is really interesting here. Any one of those three to me is a great pick. And I would even look at possibly trading back like two spots because you're guaranteed to get one of those three guys if you traded back two spots.
I mean, here's your wide receiver board right now. And Wilson, Pearsall's a guy they've looked at.
Yeah.
Jermaine Burton, Keon Coleman, Jalen Polk, like any of these guys are pretty solid picks.
Yeah.
And this might be, like you said, where given what Philadelphia did, remember, in this mock draft, Philadelphia went with the tackle, right? Just like Pittsburgh did.
Yeah.
So coming back here, Philadelphia's two picks after, they just got their wide receiver. So I don't think Philadelphia is going to be taking Roman Wilson or Ricky Pearsall.
Here, take it off receiver real quick. Just go back to regular big board.
Okay, one second. Let me figure out how to do this. Okay, there we go. So they're saying we're still.
I'm seeing somebody in the comments saying better draft a linebacker. Like, scroll down and find the next linebacker. Now, granted, you got to go a ways.
There's Edrie Cooper, 62nd. With that a 59 ADP,
that's a reach to me. That's what I'm talking about. If the Steelers had a gigantic need, like we could go, we could draft Cedric Van Praan here. That would be a gigantic reach, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We're really looking at a situation in which, and again, this is not just because this is PFF's rankings. To me, if I don't think Roman Wilson's falling to 51, I also don't think Sandra Still's falling to 51. But if you have either one of those guys fall in your lap,
yeah,
it's like, what are you prioritizing? Are you prioritizing corner or receiver?
Yeah,
now, I would think Steelers may prioritize corner here. For me personally, I like Roman Wilson, but I also have a hard time thinking a slot cornerback gets a second round pick.
I agree with that. And given the heavy scouting they've done to Roman Wilson,
yeah,
I think it's just the logical pick here.
Yeah.
Especially if wide receiver is not the pick in the first round. So I think the choice we're going to make at 51 is Roman Wilson. So yeah, let's make that pick.
I think that's probably the consensus pick, but that was a really difficult decision because, like I said, getting either Pearsall or Wilson at that spot is my gosh.
And then look who goes with the pick right after Sanders still. So
yeah,
there you go. All right. What does Philadelphia do at 53? Philadelphia at 53 takes Pearsall. So
yeah,
if they really wanted Pearsall, or had an idea that the Steelers were going to take him. Now, obviously, they just took Troy Franklin. The kind of catch-22 with Philadelphia here is they pick one pick before the Steelers and two picks after them.
Yeah.
And they just went tackle, receiver, receiver. So yeah,
that's interesting. I don't think that actually plays.
I don't think that actually happens either.
This is where the mock draft simulator may
all right. Let's let some players go off the board.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, we have not addressed center. We have not addressed cornerback.
Yep.
So we have to kind of pay attention here to what falls.
But also interior defensive line.
Correct.
That's another need. You could look at linebacker depending on who's there. Possibly safety, even though I don't necessarily think that's as much of a need. Tight end's good to go. Running back's good to go. Guard is good to go. We already took care of tackle. We got ourselves a number two receiver in Roman Wilson. I'm feeling good about where we're at. Yep. We've taken two players we didn't reach for and that both addressed needs.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about when best player available can go hand in hand with positional need as well.
So I'm letting the draft run right now. We're about 10 picks out from the Steelers. And so far, you know, it's kind of been a mixed bag. Some wide receivers have gone. Some linebackers have started to go. There goes a quarterback, Spencer Rattler at 76 to Denver.
Yeah.
Wide receiver. And we're coming up slowly here to the Steelers pick at 84. Their first, of course, of the first round. So, you know, okay, Braylon Trice out of Washington, the edge rusher. Jamari Thrash out of Louisville, receiver at 81. There's another cornerback. And then the Rams take Blake Corum, running back out of Michigan. So here's where the board sits.
Ooh.
Overall, going into the pick 84 in the third round, the top-rated player available per PFF is Notre Dame tackle Blake Fisher,
who the Steelers hosted for a pre-draft visit. Now, we've already addressed tackle. Do we take another one? To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Now, here's where the conversation begins around Cedric Van Pran.
Yeah, because Cedric Van Pran is there. You got to scroll down just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got Jerrion Jones is there when we're talking about slot corner. I really like Jerrion Jones as a slot corner. Like, mm-hmm. I really, really do. I think that's a guy to watch out for in the third round. I understand the Steelers might not have like hosted him for a pre-draft visit or anything, but when we're talking about a guy who can play inside, this dude knows how to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to take him at 84 though. I would be much more inclined to take Van Pran at 84.
Right. I think this is where Van Pran would make logical sense. But again, man, like, it makes you think if Fisher was there, if you obviously knew how the draft board would shake up, right?
Well.
Like if there was knowledge that Fisher would be there at 84, would they rather go for the top cornerback or the top wide receiver? Like would you rather have Brian Thomas and Blake Fisher or Amarius Mims and let's say Van Pran or let's say, who is your guy? Jones. Like, That's the thing you kind of have to consider is all of this value when it comes to these players as well. And of course, here's Malachi Courtley, and that's a player the Steelers have interested and brought in for a visit. So if Roman Wilson, let's go back up here. Let's just take a look real quick. 51, we took Roman Wilson. If we took Sandra still here, it would be kind of a no-brainer to take Corley
at
this stage, in my opinion.
And that's honestly what would probably be the most – yeah, I would agree with that. I would think that if that situation – if we would have taken Sandra still there, we got ourselves a slot corner, and then if Corley happened to be there, then, yeah, that to me is a slam-dunk pick in terms – because to me, I think there's a much better chance that Cedric Van Pran is available at 84 and over Malachi Corley. I think there's a good chance Corley, come draft night, come day two of the draft, that Corley's not there when the Steelers pick at 84.
Right.
Right. I think there's a really good chance he ends up moving up boards over the next 13 days. So in this particular situation, just so we're not double dipping at receiver when we don't necessarily have to, I'm going to say Van Pran, but then there's Jeremiah Trotter there. Yep. Like that's an interesting pick too. Linebacker to me is not nearly as big of a need. They got Patrick Queen. They got Cole Holcomb, you know, hoping that he's healthy. Landon Roberts, but you know, then it kind of drops off after that. Let's just for sake of, you know, putting a little bit of a time limit on this thing, let's go ahead and go Van Pran. Yeah.
Let's go Van Pran. All right. We're going to let this thing roll. There goes the Browns with Trotter at 85 right after it. And then Corley right there at 86, two picks after.
While this is running, I'm going to bring this comment up because this is a good point. Chris B771 says Van Pran and Mims are projects. That is true to a point. Now, spending a third round pick on a project is not a you know, huge risk, but that is a good point because Mims is very inexperienced. He doesn't have a lot of snaps. I mean, only 8 starts. You know, that is something that would have. And there goes Jerrion Jones at 96.
Yep.
Now Jerrion Jones isn't there, but. It's a really good point that's been brought up because Marius Mims is far from a slam dunk to me. That is more if the Steelers draft Marius Mims 20th in the first round, I'll feel a lot better about that pick once I actually see him play. Yep. Other than unlike last year when they took Broderick Jones, I felt a lot better about that because it's a little bit more accomplished than Marius Mims was.
Yeah.
But Mims on the other that's one of those picks where if you hit on it, that could end up becoming like one of your greatest picks in like the last 10, 20 years because the ceiling is massive for Mims.
Yeah. All right. We're at pick 98.
Yeah.
The final pick of this third round.
And then we got to wrap this up.
Then we got to wrap up. Oh, for sure. This is kind of interesting. Like,
yeah.
This is where you would take that best available theory.
Yes.
And of course, Bo Limmer's right there. So if they didn't take Van Pran in the third, there's Bo Limmer.
Yeah.
Right around that range. I'm a big fan of Dwayne Carter personally. I think he's really good. Defensive interior is a need. A few safeties here. Dadrell Taylor Demerson out of Texas Tech, Caleb Bullock out of USC, Sione Vaki out of Utah are there. There's Maris Liufu, who visited with the Steelers at the Senior Bowl. Running back Ray Davis out of Kentucky. I know Michael Hall out of Ohio State has drawn some eyes. This is where you kind of can play with. Do you move back a little bit into the out of the top 100? You know, or is this the pick that you would use if you're Pittsburgh when you look at this 84 slot or you look at this 51 slot and you move up with it? Like, to me, this is kind of a tweener spot to be in.
Yeah, I personally like Luafu there.
Okay.
Let's
just take him to move things along.
Yeah. Just because you take a linebacker. I mean, yeah, you'd like to have a corner there. But again, it's a mock draft. We're trying to kind of go through and paint a picture for how things can look. We're not here to try to give our expert opinions and say, like, this is what the Steelers should do. That's not what we're doing here.
Okay.
And so, for PFF, yeah, we got a B+ from PFF. It's not bad. I thought we did really picks. Well. Yeah. I thought we did really well.
Mims picks. And Wilson, a minus for Marius Mims and A for Roman Wilson. That's via PFF. Of course.
Van Pran
gets a B and Liafu gets a C+. We're kind of pressed for time. So we did Liafu just to keep things moving. But
yeah,
again, this is where this 84 and 98, this is where you look at and say, well, is Van Pran really worth taking here, or is the gap between Frazier and Van Pran so large that they move up from 51? And look, we just looked at this these options at 98. You know, obviously, Liufa we took to kind of move things along. But, like, okay, if they want to move up from 51 to go get Zach Frazier, move up a couple of spots, and it takes 98, okay. It's not the worst thing. And then at 84, let's go back here and see who was taken, you know, just after. Can I go back into this?
I don't think you can.
Oh, well, but anyway. So I think
the only thing you can do is pull up, and it's the other option down there is to pull up the entire first round. I think that's it.
Probably got we kind of just took Lialfa to move things along because we're running out of time.
Yeah, here. Yeah. It's that's yeah. We're running out of time, but and Joshua Dobbs here says, you know, I prefer the trade up for Frazier, honestly. And listen, there's still a couple of weeks to go before the draft, and you know, the Steelers are going to get a much better feel for Frazier after today. Anyway, we could probably. Put this back where
there you go.
Yeah, but you know, we again, it's an exercise. We're not trying to say anything about like, oh well, we need to, this is what the Steelers should be doing. No, we're trying to go through make a mock draft so that we can, you know, play out scenarios so we can see how things might go for the Steelers when it comes to what's available when they're at 20, what's available as the 51st pick is approaching. When does the, and again, based off of not just these mock drafts, but also things that I'm hearing, that 35 to 55 range is about where Zach Frazier is going to go. Mm-hmm. Now that's a kind of a wide range, but again, you're going to see, I mean, you're seeing some people go, I think Mel Kiper Jr. had Frazier going like 57th in his most recent mock. Mm-hmm. And then you could, but again, then again, Frazier, there could be one team that really loves him and wants to take him early in the second. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Good exercise. We'll do another one next week.
Yeah.
Three rounds took us through about 40 minutes, which I think is perfect amount of time.
Yeah.
Takes us through day two of the draft and gives us a good idea of how the Steelers might look at the board and look at their biggest needs and how they might maneuver around. Obviously, we put our best GM hats on given the situation.
Try to.
I mean, a mock draft simulator is not going to be anything close to.
No.
Or I shouldn't say that, but it's not going to emulate what's exactly going to happen in 2 weeks. But it's exercise. It's good exercise.
The one thing I really, really want to stress about mock drafts and specifically is anything after the first round, it really is. I mean, it's a slippery slope that it becomes more and more and more of a crapshoot. Like every pick, it's like, it's like a fall off a cliff. Honestly, it really becomes more and more of a crapshoot because you just don't know what teams are thinking, especially after that first night of the draft, how they're reevaluating things.
There you go.
It's so hard to try to emulate that. And so that's why I don't hate on a lot of mock drafts, just because it's almost impossible to guess, especially if you go like full blown 7-round mock, like, come on.
Yep.
Like there are how many players in this that could be drafted in this class?
Yeah. It's hard to decipher that.
You're going to tell me that you're going to be accurate in the 6th and 7th round. Come on.
Yeah. You never know. You never know what's going to happen in these drafts. That's why we do them. That's why, again, exercise. That's why we're doing this, to give an idea, to use our best knowledge as well, to try to field that. And I'm glad we got to do it today. We'll do another one next week.
Teresa, that was both third picks. I mean, like we could probably like,
we rushed that last one.
We did rush that last one, but no, like we'll do the same thing. Like unless the Steelers make any trades and, you know, possibly, you know, trade up or trade down or anything. But if they are holding the same picks, we'll do the same four picks that we did this time. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, we will. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy the nicer weather. It's warmer out, certainly. Masters is on. Right, so if you're a golf fan, enjoy the Masters. Enjoy your weekend. Don't get too anxious over the Penguins, those that are invested. Don't get too anxious. Do your best to withhold if you can.
Hey, winning they're in, man. Winning they're in.
That's right. He's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Christen. That was fun. We had a good day today. We hope you have a good day as well. Cheers, everybody. Happy weekend. We'll see you Monday.